Welcome to Go Pro, How to Become a Network Marketing Professional by Eric Warden. You are now listening to CD3, which is titled Getting Started Right.
All right, so in the last session we talked about why network marketing, why become a network marketing professional versus the other options that are available to you, the amateur option and the poser option. And our job is to get people to understand what we do in network marketing. Some of them are still going to join as posers, quickly move them into the amateur, into the apprentice ranks, and then move them into becoming a network marketing professional. We're going to talk about the expectation on how long that takes in a moment. But at the end of the last session, we talked about the three things that you need to focus on when it comes to reasons, your reasons for succeeding. The first was, what do you want out of this profession? Second is, what are you willing to give up in order to get it? And third is, who are you willing to associate with in the process? Associations, the people you spend time with, the people you hang out with, the people that you listen to, have such a massive impact on your success. You can't even describe it. When you're fighting against the current, when you're one out of 20, if those associations are leaning you in a certain direction, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. I could take Paco. Paco, stand up here. And one bad person in your associations, if we're walking this way, and all I have to do is just the tiniest little nudge, all I have to do, and he is completely and off track. That's all I have to do as one person. Now, if I took some of these football players over here, and there was 19 of us, how long would it take? It would take one row. And he'd be off track. I mean, just like right now. And, you know, fight against me. Hard as you can. Hard as you can. Come on. All right, Ace, I need help. Come on. All right, come here. Come on, Tony. Now, Tommy, stay here for a second. Those who were listening saw that I added one person to help me get Paco off track. Then I added two and three. Tommy was influential. Now let me do the same example, not as aggressive, but if Tommy is Paco's friend and Paco wants to get off track and Tommy is here walking with him as a friend, what can Tommy do? He can keep him on track. Now that's just one influential person that could keep you on track. Yeah? What if you had 19 of those? On walking on both sides, helping you stay on track. What if you don't decide that that's important? Wow. What are your chances of fighting against that current? You better be awfully influential. You better be Nelson Mandela. You better be Dr. Martin Luther King. You know what I mean? You better be Winston Churchill. Then people start to say, okay, it's awfully hard to be able to pick that path and stay on that path. So associations are huge. So we use the basic rule of you're going to become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Period. End of story. And you can argue with that if you want, and it's not going to help you. You're going to become the five people you spend the most time with. You want some proof of that statistic? Take the five people you spend the most time with right now. Take their income. Divide by five. Add up their income, divide by five, and see how you're doing. If you're not right in the middle, give it a little time. You're going to walk how they walk, talk how they talk, dress how they dress, do what they do. Why? Because the power of influence that we described here in the center aisle is that big a deal. You're going to think how they think, read what they read, listen to what they listen to, watch what they watch, talk how they talk, learn what they learn, have habits that are similar to their habits. If you hang out with a bunch of people, drink a lot of coffee, chances are excellent, you're going to start drinking some coffee. If you hang out with people that smoke all day long, chances are excellent that you're going to develop a different habit. If you hang out with people that get drunk every night, chances are excellent that that might lead you in a direction that doesn't have your best interest in mind. So, you've got to examine your associations, especially when you're building your network marketing business. As you build it, you've got to decide what it is that you're willing to do. Now, some people will say, well, I'm okay with my five because I'm the most successful of my five. I have an entourage. I have my followers. Yeah? I'm somebody. They carry my briefcase. They say, you the man. Right? Being at the top end of the five is the scariest place in the world to be. You might think that it feeds your ego, so you might think that that's the answer. Let me tell you why it's frightening. Because the other five have to pull you down. And there's nothing you can do about it. Not a thing. They will pull you down to a different average, whether you recognize it or not. So you know where you want to be? At the bottom end of the five. How cool is that? Get to the bottom end of the five, and there's no choice for them to pull you up. You'll get pulled up. Now, there's three ways that you can examine your associations. I learned this from Jim Rohn. I'll pass it on to you. One is to limit your association with negative influence. Limit your time that you spend with negative people, people who don't agree with what you're doing, people who aren't pushing you in the right direction, people who aren't helping you create a better future, people who are going to constantly try and get you off track, take you in a direction that isn't good for you. Limit your time with them. Don't spend as much time as you did. Many of these are going to be family members. So you have to creatively get busy in other directions. It isn't advised to say, I'm limiting my time with you. I wouldn't necessarily say that. There's a few you might have to say that with, but not very many. Just say, you know what, I'm really busy, sorry, hopefully we could do this later, but you know, I can't do 2 hours, but we can talk for a couple minutes on the phone. Love you, gotta go, so busy, so busy. Yeah, always busy. That's okay. Love you too. I know I'm always busy chasing the dream. See you later. Gotta go. The second one is to disassociate. There's a few in your life. You've really got a big choice in life. To be what you can become or to try to drag people who don't want to go somewhere. It's awfully hard to disassociate. But when you're disassociating, there's some people say, well, gosh, you know what? I don't want to leave somebody behind. We've got a no person left behind policy. We're not leaving anybody behind. Well, I'm sorry. You have to accept some realities here. This isn't like the armed forces, don't leave somebody behind policy. Those are people who can't walk. Those are the people who are dead in the military that you don't want to leave behind, that you want to bring back for honor and respect for the families. This is somebody that doesn't want to go. If you're in the fourth grade, you graduate the fourth grade, and somebody doesn't want to go to the fifth. Are you going to stay in the fourth or go to the fifth? Well, yeah, you go to the fifth. Now, are you forgetting where you came from when you go to the fifth grade? No. They chose to stay. It's okay. Love them. Wait for them. Let them know, hey, fifth grade's great. It's really cool. It's not as scary as you thought. No, no. They just get bigger and bigger in their fourth grade desks, year after year, bigger and bigger and bigger. Their little fourth grade desk, repeating the same thing over and over. Saying, oh, look at that guy in 11th grade, thinks he's too good for all of us. He's so arrogant, that 11th grader. Let's go have our milk and cookies. It's nap time. Doing the same test that they've done for years over and over. They know all the answers. Playing the same games that they've played every day over and over. Eventually, you can have compassion and hope to guide them through a path because you did it too, but you can't expect. Some people, you know what they'll do? Out of compassion for their friend, they'll stay in the fourth grade. I'll stay here and I hope I can change his mind and we can go together. Stay too many years in the fourth grade, you'll become a fixture. You'll become part of the furniture. You'll be left behind by the current of life. So, disassociation. One, because people don't want to go. Two, because some people are so negative and have such a high influence on you, you can't afford the time. Because they take your mind to another place in a moment. And I disassociated with some for a period of time until I had enough strength to have limited association with them. Third is the most positive, and that's expanding your association, getting around positive people. Getting around people who, like people in this room. People. That's why networkmarketingpro.com is valuable. When you're home by yourself, you can plug in and get reminded again one more time. It could be one of your associations. It could be one of your friends. Jim Rohn was one of my associations as I listened in my car over and over and over and over, and then eventually became to be actual real friends, you know? Get yourself surrounded by positive people. I'll give you an example why it's so difficult sometimes. You have to do this on purpose. It's not easy to just be able to, you know, you're making $10 an hour. You want to get into a $50 an hour crowd? Oh, you think you can just do that? You know why it's hard? Those $50 an hour people are trying to limit their association with you. They know what you're going to do to their average. Here in the United States, the number one team, at least last year, Los Angeles Lakers. You know, you've got what? Who's their team? You got Kobe Bryant. Pau Gasol, a little taller. Lamar Odom. Andrew Bynum. Okay? And let's say I was clever enough to talk them into letting me play. I'm a nice guy. Let me play. I never played, but I've got a lot of desire. I'm coachable. I'm willing to, you know, come on. I can bring the white demographic. People, you know, they'll come and they'll watch just for the spectacle. It'll be good. Now, let's just say for a moment, talk about what the power of associations, the power of what happens to the group. What happens if they have a moment of weakness? And Kobe says, "Ah, let him play. He's a friend of mine. Let him play." Would the Lakers win a single game? Against? No. Against any NBA team? Any five-man NBA team would beat four, because that's really what they'd be. They'd have to accept the results of letting me into that group if they did it. So the successful people that you know have to accept the results of letting you in. So you know what you have to do? You've got to work on you so you can say, "I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm coachable, and I'm teaching, and I won't get in the way, but can I sit in on lunch? Can I buy you breakfast? If I do this and this and this, can I call you one time?" And you earn your way slowly into a better group and a better group and a better group. Like if I joined a local basketball team of 40-somethings in Minneapolis, and then I work my way up and work my way up and work my way up and work my way up, I'm still not getting on this team, but at least I would be showing higher and higher teams that I had a level of commitment or whatever. Did you see the example that I'm using? So make sure that you're working on you and you're working to expand into a larger group of influence. Two concepts I want for your mind. We're going to talk about this later when we talk about personal development. But the associations do two things. One is they protect your mind from negative. And two is they feed your mind with positive. They protect your mind from bad habits. They feed your mind with good habits. They protect your mind from bad ways of thinking, and they feed your mind with good ways of thinking. That's what associations do. So find a friend in the business, and then find a way to get in a group, and then find a way to get in another group. And you know what? There's some people inside of network marketing that want to stay in their equivalent fourth grade in network marketing, in your downline. And it's okay for you to take a step. You're not leaving them behind. They're choosing to stay. Love them. Encourage them. Let them catch up when they're ready to catch up. But work your way into another group, another group, another group. The mastermind group is the most powerful thing you could ever imagine. Finding a way to get around half a dozen powerful people and bring them value. Let's talk about getting started. Getting started right. Getting started right. I want to treat everyone in this room as if you're brand new. And I want you to pretend like you're brand new. How many in this room have been in the profession longer than 1 year? 2 years? 3 years? 4 years? 5 years? Okay. One thing, if you want to get to the next level, and I know most of the people that have raised their hand for longer than 5 years, they want to get to the next level, is... finish this phrase for me. Familiarity breeds contempt, which means what you get used to, you take for granted. What you get used to, you start picking away and taking shots at. One of the things you have to do is refresh your mind and understand. You know, if you get to know your upline after 5 years, you know every flaw that they have. And you can take shots, and it's easy to take shots, and you're not the same friend that you were at the beginning, and everybody knows everything about each other, and it gets a little stale, gets a little old. You've got to refresh your mind and put on the clothes like you just got started again and edify the people that are useful to you as resources like you did at the very beginning and tell the story about your product and service that is just same old to you now. It's not to the prospect. You know what I mean? You got to refresh everything. So in this exercise, what I want you to do is refresh yourself in network marketing as if you're brand new. This discipline is all about getting connected physically, financially, and emotionally. Getting connected, not only to the profession of network marketing, but your company, your product, your service, physically, financially, and emotionally. And I've got four sections for this. The first is get connected. Underneath that, products or services. You need to use all of the products and services. You need to acclimate yourself to all the products and services. You need to not just pick and choose. You need to just immerse yourself in the product experience. If you haven't used your service for a while, you need to just find an excuse to use it. If you haven't used your product for a while, you need to go out there and use it more. I mean, really, not just one or two, but on a regular basis to be able to rebuild your belief in what it is that you offer. And as a brand new person, the number one thing that I want them to do is I want them to have a product or service experience. And as deeply as I can with them, get them connected with it. Get them to understand. They don't need to learn every detail of it, but they need to experience it, and they need to have some general knowledge of it. They need to have a product or service experience. Quickly. Really important. Next is you need to find out what tools are available to you. What tools are available to you? What are the most successful people in your organization using when it comes to tools? Communication tools, information tools, prospecting tools. There's many, many different kinds, so I'm not going to dive in real specific, but lots of different delivery vehicles. But these are like information delivery vehicles that are useful to you in order to be able to build a business. But make yourself aware of those. Find out what they are. Get your hands on some of them. Some of you might be in companies that don't have any tools, you know, because you're virtual or you're this or you're that. My strong encouragement, if they don't have it, make it, if the company will allow you to do so. Because third-party tools are just the fundamental of what it is that we do when it comes to the next 2 hours that we're going to be talking about, which is finding people to talk to and talking to them. You're going to need to have third-party tools. What calls are available to you? Are there conference calls available to you? Are there training calls available to you? Are there webinars available to you? Is there access to information that's more real-time available to you? Find out what that is. And literally, when you have your calendar, pull out your calendar, say, okay, and you start filling in your calendar with the available resources. Next is training. Now, I want to put one note to the side of training. Learn all you can while you're doing it, while you're out there taking action. Many people engage in avoidance behavior, which means they want to learn everything first, and then they're going to take action. It's natural, happens to a lot of people. 90% of the learning is going to happen in the doing. That's when you're going to learn. You do it, and then you learn, and then you do it, and then you learn, and then you do it, and then you learn. And along the way, you're engaged in what are the training resources available? What are the CDs that I could put in my car and listen to? What training is available inside my company that will help me go to the next level? Is there a local training event? Is there a getting started training that I need to attend? And just put it in your calendar and schedule it. Network Marketing Pro, in my opinion, my humble opinion, when I said most of the learning is done by doing, I had no clue what I was doing a year ago. I had lots of information, but no idea. I just decided I was going to start, and we started March 11th, and then off we go. And then you learn. Okay, here's what works, and here's the length of time that works best for people, and here's the topics that are important to people, and we just learn as we go. And you know what? That's going to continue for the next 40 years. And we'll just, instead of couple hundred videos, we'll have 10,000 as a resource from every voice in the profession for forever. But how do you do it? You start. You just start. You know, and you figure it out. Okay, that doesn't work so well. Do something different. Okay, that didn't work so well. Do something different. And make some little adjustments as you go. This resource, the Network Marketing Pro resource, for my organization, I'm asking them to watch it every day because it creates the muscle. It creates the discipline. It reminds them from another voice, because they can get sick of their upline's voice saying, you know, do this, do this, do this, do this, blah, blah, blah. You talk all the time. Love to hear the sound of your own voice, don't you? You know, you guys have never thought that, right? Sometimes you hear somebody else saying something that they might be saying, and you go, well, okay, I can hear it from you. Couldn't hear it from him, but I can hear it from you. All right, I'll do it. You know what I mean? Just that reminder 5 days a week. You know, if you've been, how many of you have seen every show? Wow. Good for you. The rest of you, you need to get yourself caught up. You know what I mean? It'll help. It'll help, I promise. It'll help. If you just go back, just start. Start with the greatest hits and move your way forward. It'll help. Okay. The other thing that you put in your calendar is events. Events. Events drive our business like no other. You could think it's technology. It's not. It's events. Local events, regional events, national events, and in some cases, international events. You need to book for whatever the next major event is. And I know that there's a few of you who have sent me emails that says, well, our company doesn't really do events. Start events and tell your story. Because that changes people's belief structure when they see it. Start some events and just say, hey, we want you to come in and see what our story is, and we're going to tell you our story. And then build a bigger event that people drive or fly into, and then build a bigger one than that, and then people come into from all over the country. You'll be the biggest in your whole company, I promise. I promise. Some of the best students that I've trained on how to become network marketing professionals have created event cultures beyond your imagination. They've overcome every obstacle in order to be able to make that happen. But get in your calendar, here are the events, and get yourself scheduled for a destination event, somewhere where you have to leave your hometown and get rid of the distractions and go somewhere in order to be able to learn, okay? So that's step one, get connected. Just get the stuff, you know. Plug in all the wires into the speakers. Get connected so you know what to do. Second, setting expectations. Setting expectations. Wow. Our biggest problem in network marketing is what I'm about to describe to you. Setting expectations. Most people join as posers or amateurs? Posers. So setting an expectation to a poser is hard, isn't it? Because their expectation is, I'm going to get rich or die trying. Right? I'm going to either hit this thing big or I'm headed home. Low price of entry. I came in. I'm going to do this thing. And we'll see what happens. That's the poser's mantra. Let's see what happens. I'm going to try this. Now, I'm going to do it. Not about any skill. I'm going to see what happens. So, the first part of setting expectations, and this is the most important 15 minutes you could spend with a brand new person in their entire career. Most people don't do this. They're so happy to have a sign up, they run home and they're high-fiving everybody. Woohoo, got one, woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. And that person's still sitting there with a terrible expectation stuck in their brain. So the first is the 1-3-5-7 formula. 1-3-5-7. If I'm talking to Hannah, I'm saying, Hannah, listen, here's how this works. It's going to take you about a year to become functional and profitable in this profession. Part-time. 99% of the people in the business are part-time. Functional and profitable in a year. Rich in a year? No. Functional and profitable. There's an occasional exception. Somebody accelerates for a minute, a little bit faster. Don't buy into the exception. Let's talk about the rule. It's going to take you 3 years, Hannah, part-time, 10 to 15 hours a week, committed, working hard, to make a full-time income. 3 years, on average. It's going to take you about 5 years to become a high-income earner. And it'll take you about 7 years to become world-class. Doesn't mean you're not done learning. We're all learning. But it's going to take about 7 years to become world-class. If you want to go, want to make big money, it's about a five-year plan of very devoted work. It's going to take you 3 years to go full-time. So some of you have said, well, you don't understand. I'm full-time now because I lost my job. I'm full-time now because my business fell on, you know, went under. I'm full. What does this mean? Because I don't have no 3 years. What this means is you're going to have to be employed by somebody else in the meantime while you're building your future. It's devastating for a person to throw the Hail Mary pass and say, I'm going to try and make that 3-year curve in 6 months because I have to. Devastating. Now, I know it's hard and it's brutal and we all hate our jobs and nobody wants to do that work any longer. But you're going to have to do it a little while longer if you want to be healthy in the meantime. You don't want to be a desperate person trying to build your organization and expect something that is not reasonable. I want to have a full-time income in my first month. You know, inside of you guys, this company, if somebody does that, they become the super salesperson. The super salesperson lasts for about 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. They get tired of being a super salesperson. They didn't learn how to build an organization. And because they didn't know how to build an organization, they got the other side of the coin to look at. And then they say, well, maybe this isn't for me, because they had to go for the Hail Mary pass too quick and only do the direct sales piece and not do a network marketing growth piece. True or not true? Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm telling you, if you will tell this to the whole world, you're going to be okay. And if you avoid this conversation, you're going to be unhappy because everybody's expectations aren't going to be able to be met. And if they're not met, they leave. If they're met, they stay. 1, 3, 5, 7. Here's the format. But you know what? You're going to be 7 years older anyway. You'll be world-class at something. What are you world-class at right now? Some people say you're a world-class something and something, but... So what do I tell people that have had hard times? You know what? You just got to find a way to create some money to come into the household. You're going to work this thing part-time, working your 10, 15, 20 hours a week. If you really got to make something happen, you got a hole, not just, you got a hole to dig out of. You know what? You're going to have to negotiate with family, work 40 hours at the job that you hate, and you're going to have to work 40 hours on your dream. You have to work 80 hours a week in order to be able to dig yourself out of a hole and build a future. Sorry. The faster you recognize that, the better. And let me give you one more piece of advice for anybody that know, how many people know somebody that are in financial difficulty at the moment? Do you like the little shift? How many know somebody? Here's my biggest advice. In a new economy, get small. Get small immediately. Small. Tiny. Itty bitty. You can't afford that house, get out of it. Walk away. Do whatever you got to do. But don't wait for things to change and dig a deeper hole sitting in that house you're not supposed to be in. Or stay in the house and move in another 3 families. I'm not kidding. Get small. Get rid of the car that you can't afford to drive. If the kids are in a school that you guys can't afford, you got to put them into a school that's best school that you can't afford. You got to get tiny because tiny is the only thing that gives you options. The world is in an epidemic of staying large while their income is going small. And you know what's coming? This year there's going to be about 50% more foreclosures than last year. Because they're holding on to a false reality. It's gone. It's over. Get tiny. Bundle everything. Well, what am I going to do with all my stuff? solve that problem. Get tiny. Make your monthly bills so small that you can, with a reasonable job, take care of that while you build your future. Instead of having to have everything go to this monster that just keeps chewing and chewing and chewing and giving you no equity in return on a monthly basis. Get tiny. Okay? So if you have somebody that you're bringing in, they've got difficulties, that you're counseling to them, get small. And get small fast. You can't do it fast enough. Well, I'm waiting for this. I'm thinking I might get this job. Well, if you get it, then we'll have other choices. But in the meantime, dump it. Sell it. Get rid of it. Walk away from it. There's no shame in it. The whole world is going to be forced to do it soon. Not by choice, by force. Do you think next year is going to be as bad as it gets? No. I promise you, it's not. There's so much denial in this world today. There's so much bloated. The average American has $20,000 in credit card debt at 18% on average. Okay? They have houses they can't afford, cars they can't afford, educational systems that they can't afford, and they can't hold on to them any longer because one in five are unemployed or underemployed. Do the math. Get tiny. Let it go. Let the cards fall to the floor. There's no shame in correcting your life to the situation of your life. So to you, to anybody that you know, anybody that you bring in, that would be my counseling also. Understand that this is a real business. A real business. Price of entry is small. Price of exit is small. Most of the time, the price of exit is because expectations were way out of whack. Here's what I like to say. You know what you're going to have to do, Ron? Work your face off. You're going to have to work your face off. This is no free lunch. You're going to be learning a new skill. You're going to be doing it with the distractions of your daily life. You're going to be doing all this stuff, but you know what? It's not free, but it's takeable. It's gettable. You can go get it, but you're going to have to get it. Nobody's going to hand it to you. You're not going to worry about getting lucky. We're just going to focus on getting good. We're going to develop our skills. A year from today, you're going to be profitable. 3 years from today, you can say goodbye to your boss if you want to. In the meantime, it's going to be uncomfortable while we do it. And that's okay, Ron. Here's what's more uncomfortable. Staying in a situation that you hate and being less than what you have the capability of being and doing it for the next 10 years. You know? You know what people like more than anything else? Is that we tell them they're going to have to work their face off. They go, what? Thank you. Because the whole world's telling me I'm going to lose all the weight I need in 15 minutes. I'm going to be able to be rich and powerful and successful in 2 seconds. You know, give us 7 days and we'll turn around, you're this. And no. I may be the only seminar in the world that says, yeah, it's going to be 7 years for you to learn what I learned. It's what it is, sorry. It's going to take you a year to get profitable from today. If you're just starting, you're going to be a year older anyway. Think about what happened in the last year. I mean, it was just a blink. It was a blur. It's been almost 10 years since 9/11. Think you could be world class plus some since then. Or go through the motions. It's your choice. You're going to have to work your face off. You're going to have to make something happen. Let me show you the phases of growth in this business. Because of expectations. And it's very important you let people know that this is going to happen. Phase number one. People get excited. Woo-hoo! So exciting. I'm going to be rich. I found it. This is the can't sleep phase. I found it. This is the answer. I can't believe everybody else doesn't see this. This is super exciting. And then they hit the self-doubt phase. Self-doubt. I wonder if I made a mistake. My spouse is looking at me funny. My friends are saying, you did what? My parents are saying, please. The people that I thought was going to come in said no. And here's how you know that somebody's in self-doubt phase. They start giving you excuses. They stop calling you. You have to call them. They stop showing up at meetings. They're in self-doubt. Most people quit here, right here. That's where most people quit. They have this excitement, self-doubt. I knew it wasn't going to happen. And they quit. Big decision time. Fight or quit. Fight or quit. Some quit depending on how you set the expectations. Some fight depending on how you set the expectations. You understand it's an expectation game? You want to keep more people in your business, set the expectations right, and it's going to be fine. You want to continue to have the churn that you have? Huge people coming in and leaving and coming in and leaving and coming in and leaving. It's because you set expectations poorly. You set them up to fail. You showed them these examples of these big checks and this big stuff and all this stuff. And when they didn't get big anything, they're done. So if they fight, you go back up. And you're still going to have other setbacks. Somebody in their downline quits. Then you rebuild. And somebody treated him poorly, ignored him at a meeting or whatever. I don't get any respect. I hate my upline. You know what I mean? Whatever it happens to be. And that just, you know, it slowly goes up and slowly goes up, and nothing goes up in a straight line. You can have lots of temporary setbacks. But if you set the expectations that, look, 1, 3, 5, 7, we're going to work hard. This isn't to replace your full-time thing this second, because it's a long-term real business that we're building. We're going to be doing it with passion, not with huge investment. In that first year, you want them to be able to make enough money to use the products, attend events, and get some tools, basically, and have that self-fund. That's about it. They might get more than that, but if they do, it's a bonus. And then they start earning. And then it goes beyond that, and they can get themselves to another level. If you mention this to a brand new person, that this is going to happen, will that help? If I talk to Bryant here and I say, Bryant, I want you to know, how confident are you about building your business? It's going to happen. Fabulous. Here's what I want you to know, Bryant. There's going to be a day, it might come in a day, it might come in a week, it might come in a month, when everything in the world is going to come down on your head, and you're going to question every single decision that you've made by joining this thing, and you're going to wonder if you're the biggest fool in the world. It's coming. And if it hasn't come yet, Bryant, it's coming. I promise it is coming, because it's come for everyone in this room. How many people in this room has that day come? Every hand. It's all come. But if I let Bryant know that it's coming, when it comes, he goes, that's what he was talking about. I thought for sure that wasn't going to come, but you know what? Sure enough, here it is. And then the second question to Bryant, this is important. When that day comes, Bryant, how do you want me to respond with you? Keep pushing you through it. Okay, we have a deal. So now when the day comes and I call, he's going to take the call. When the day comes and there's a meeting, he's going to come to the meeting. And he's going to look me in the eye and he's going to say, tell me one more time. Why are we doing this? Tell me one more time that it's for real. Tell me one more time that we have a future. Because you told me I was going to hit this point. I never thought I was going to hit it. I hit it. And I didn't want to get out of bed. And now I'm excited, now that we've had this conversation. But if I don't have that conversation with him, now I'm calling him, he's saying, oh, he's feeling like he's going to lose a little bit of money from me not coming into, you know, not continuing to build. He doesn't really care about me. He just doesn't want to lose that little piece of his business. That's what goes on in Bryant's mind. But if I've inoculated him, I've let him know that this is going to happen, that's an emotional business, now it's an easy conversation. Now, if you let people know, 1, 3, 5, 7, if you let people know it's a real business, if you let people know you're going to have to work your faces off, If you let people know that there's going to be ups and downs, if you let people know, like it or not, that this is an emotional business. Emotional for all you logical-brained people. You're like, oh, crap, emotions. Can't you just put this in a formula? Doesn't this fit in a spreadsheet? I put it in the spreadsheet. It looks beautiful when I put it in there. Can't it just stay there? No, it's a relationship business. It's highly emotional. It will hold a mirror up to you, Bryant, every day, and it will test you. Every day. And it's the reason why it's the ultimate personal development incubator. Because it will smooth all of those rough edges just from the practice of being in the business, being in this profession. Some people are comfortable with that. Some people are not. They'd much rather hide in an office for 20 years and repeat the same activity that they repeated 20 years ago and just get paid to, you know, hide out. They don't want to develop themselves. Some people, their personal development is too extreme. But if you let them know it's emotional, this is an emotional business, our biggest challenge is, Bryant, will be emotional. They won't be structural. If I let him know that, I'm in good shape. Okay? Got it? How many think if you did that with every single person that has ever joined your business, that little thing right there would have made an impact in your ending results? Huge, right? All right. Okay, I have two more things. We talked about getting connected, and we talked about setting expectations. Isn't this good stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We're just warming up. Got so much more coming. Number three, this is an interesting one. I call it make yourself known. Make yourself known. This is what I want every brand new person in my business to do. Make themselves known. Step one, proclaim yourself to the world. Tell the world in every forum you possibly can. I have joined something new. I am so excited. I can't stand it. And I'm taking charge of my future because I'm not as happy as I should be. I'm not as fulfilled as I should be. Here's why I've decided. You don't need to give them details. You don't need to try and prospect them through that proclamation. Just make the proclamation at the family reunion. I just want you to know I'm happier than I've ever been because I'm taking charge of my life. And I'm sure you'll all be proud of me because I'm going to do it. I'll leave it at that. Make the proclamation to your friends. Make the proclamation to your family. I will not be stopped. I've got a 1, 3, 5, and 7 year plan. And watch my smoke. I'm going to need all the support you guys are willing to give me. Emotional, physical, everything. Because I'm going to need it. Proclaim yourself to the world. Don't tiptoe in, because man, if I can tiptoe out, then maybe nobody noticed I joined. Proclaim yourself, number one. Number two, introduce yourself. Network. Meet everybody that's involved with your company in your local market. Don't wait for them. Introduce yourself. Go into the local meeting and shake hands with every single person in that room and tell them your story. Here's why I joined. I joined because of this. I joined because of that. I joined because of this. What's your story? And gather their story. Introduce yourself. Right? To everybody. Call your upline leaders and just say, I just wanted to introduce myself. I don't want to take a lot of your time. I wanted you to know that I'm involved. I'm involved here in Detroit, Michigan. And I'm going to take it to another level. You're going to hear my name. I don't want to take your time, but I did want to say thank you and hello and look for me down the road. And I'm going to try and earn your time as time goes by. You know how much a leader wants to hear that call?
Yeah.
They're like, we got one. We got one. Oh my gosh, we got one. Introduce yourself to everybody. If you can, get to the home office of the company. Introduce yourself to everybody there. Get to know them all. Get to know the people in customer service. If you talk to somebody, get their name. And then send a little note to the company saying, hey, I had incredible service from such and such a person. You know what one letter like that does inside of an organization? It sends a ripple like you can't imagine. It gets plastered on walls. It gets permanently framed inside of cubicles. It makes a huge difference. You could be a friend to somebody inside that company that's working hard so you can have your business. I'm telling you. Send a letter to the CEO of your company. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm not worth your time at the moment, but I will be. Here are my plans. I wanted to let you know that I'm here. I'm very gratefully yours. Do it! I promise you he'll read it. I promise you he'll copy the office staff. And if you say, I'm part of such and such as an organization, I promise you he'll send a copy to that such and such an organization. You know what the CEO is thinking? I got one. I got one. Introduce yourself. Get connected. Make people aware that you exist. Make friends. When you meet somebody, they're in another city. Make friends so you can make that call. Make friends in customer service so when there's a problem that's an unusual problem, you have somebody that you can call. Make friends. Connect. If for no other reason than just to build your brand and to set you up as, you know what, I'm somebody. Starts in this room. For somebody in this room you don't know, shake their hand. Don't recruit them. Be nice. Shake their hand. Shake their hand. And just, you know, share stories. Here's my story. Here's your story. Here's why I'm in network marketing. Why are you in network marketing? And just gather the stories and make friends and work on becoming known through introduction. Too many people are saying, no, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to wait for them to come to me when I perform so much. Right? That attitude makes people never want to come to you, even if you do perform. I've known lots of big performers that had that posture and no one came to them. And then they left the business because they didn't feel like they were getting enough respect. True or not true? So be a connector in the universe. Get out there. Make something happen. Third is develop your stories. Develop your stories. This is the best way to proclaim yourself and make yourself known is develop your stories. Understand the power of your stories. I'm a huge fan of stories. My friend Dan McCormick's here. Hey, Dan. Dan's a fanatic on stories. Dan only makes $2-3 million a year in network marketing. No big deal. Ho-hum. But guess what he'll tell you? Stories everything. Stories everything. Amateurs give facts. Professionals tell stories. If you see the interview on Network Marketing Pro for Dan McCormick, I actually ran a contest to see who could count how many stories were in his interview. We couldn't get it right. There was no way to do it. We finally had to do a drawing because some people had 140 stories, some people had 20 stories, some people had 60 stories, and they were all right. They were all, I mean, you tried to look through and there was just no way because how he speaks in story. Let me tell you about this person. Let me tell you about that. Let me tell you when I tried this. Let me tell you about this. And this book that I read, it did this to me. And then this person handed me this. And, I mean, it's just hit part of his DNA. And all network marketing professionals, it's part of their DNA. Listen to them the next time that they talk. They're not giving you data, facts. They're telling you stories. So start that, developing that muscle now, which means your product story. You have to develop your product story. Whatever your product or service is, create the experience, and then tell people the story as quickly as you can. And then tell your upline, and tell the CEO, and tell all the different people. Here's my product story. You won't believe this. Tell the world when you meet somebody, I got to tell you my product story. You won't believe it. This happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. Oh my gosh. Learn, just start there, because that's where everybody can start, yeah? Tell your product story. Tell your getting your why you're involved in this business story. Let me tell you why I decided to do this. I was doing this, I was doing this, I was unhappy with that. I was not appreciated, I was this, I was that, whatever. So I decided to take charge of my life and I found a vehicle to make that happen. Why you got involved story. That's got to be like ready to go. And it's got to be tight, it's got to be well told. It's got to transfer belief. I did an interview with Les Brown. You'll see it in about 3 weeks on Network Marketing Pro. And all it is talking about telling your story and how to tell your story. It is brilliant. Make sure that you watch that because he goes into the psychology of story and how you bring people in and make your story their story. How they can just accept and step into it and relate. So your why you got involved story, your product story. If there's a heavy amount of direct sales or retail involved in your story, what is your selling the product story? I talked to this person and, you know, you won't believe. I talked to 10 people and this amount of people said yes. These people said later and then they called me back and here's what happened with that. And I made X by just sharing my product. It was unbelievable. Or the first customer you've ever had story. I went to them. I was scared to death. I didn't know how to say anything. But they still liked it. Or they used it, and here's what happened to them. It's unbelievable. Learn to tell that story. Your rank advancement story. It took me X number of days or weeks or months to get to X rank. And here's how I did it. And there's all kinds of stories there. There's a quick growth story. There was, I started, nothing happened for a while, and then I got serious, and then it took off for me story. There's I started, I was involved for 4 years and nothing happened. And then I decided to get serious and it took off for me story. There's I got involved, I got my income to a certain level and it stayed there for the last 4 years and I decided enough was enough. And then I did this, this, and this and it took me to the next level. Story? All of these are designed to do what? Set expectations, help people realize, oh my gosh, it's not just me. I can do this. If they can do that, I can do it. If they can do it, I can do it. If they have that product story, I could have that product story. I know people who have that symptom. I know people who have that need. I know people who need to lose weight. I know people who, you know, need my service, whatever it happens to be. Well, gosh. Maybe if I just tell some stories. But I'll tell you, don't worry about, don't focus on retailing. Don't focus on recruiting. Just focus on telling stories and you'll be fine. Tell stories, tell stories, tell stories. Good stories, bad stories, funny stories. Just don't make them long stories. Learn how to tell them quickly. Get the point across. Your event story. I just joined, and you know what? I decided for things to change, I needed to change, and it wasn't just words. I'm borrowing that from Dan McCormick. Those are not just words, people. For things to change, you got to change. For things to get better, you got to get better, and those aren't just words. It's for real. So you know what I decided? I don't have the money, but I'm going to be at that next event on the other side of the country, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. That's my story. I've decided I've got to change. Something has to break. So I'm going to do it. I'm overcoming my adversity story, and I'm going to be at the big event because I want to be something different. You got to tell those stories. Don't keep them inside. I know that how much heaven and earth had to be moved for you to be at this event. I know. For most of you, I mean, there's people from all over, all parts of the world, 17 countries in this room. What you had to do in order to be able to get here, tell the story. Here's why I did it. And here's what you could do. If we had time, we'd have you tell the story so people get an example. But you kind of feel it inside you, don't you? What you need to do? All right. Your overcoming objection stories. Building belief in the company story. You know, I was doing this just for myself, but then when the company did this, or when I experienced that, or when I met this person, then all my whole belief structure changed about the company. I decided. When I went to the home office, here's what happened, and here's what happened to my belief. You understand? When I understood the compensation plan, you know, the only time I understood is when I got paid. Let me tell you what happened. I got this, and I got this, and I got this. Oh my gosh. Your first 30-day story, your first 60-day story, your first 90-day story. Telling the stories over and over and over. That's what's going to get a person started right. And you don't wait until some big thing happens for a brand new person to start telling a story. You know where you start? Why did you join story? You talk with them a little bit about that, because guess what? They're going to need to tell that to every prospect they run into. Let me tell you what happened with me. I was sick and tired of this situation. I decided I want to change. I wanted to be able to do something different with my life. In my profession, it wasn't going in the right direction. So I looked at all the options available. You know what? I found one to be able to give me a path over the next 1, 3, 5, 7 years to be able to create freedom. And that's why I want to talk to you. Isn't that different than saying, hey, I want to talk to you about a business? Tell your story. Let people absorb it. Okay? Now, the next topic that we're going to cover is how to find unlimited people to talk to. Unlimited people to talk to. It's going to be a very, very important hour. But to finish off this hour, the Getting Started Right, all about getting connected. Get the person connected to the products, services, tools, calls, trainings, events. Set proper expectations. The number one most unfulfilled commitment in network marketing is helping a person set expectations, proper expectations, and still enthusiastic and exciting expectations, but setting expectations. Make yourself known. Little secret weapon. I'll slide in there. The rock stars do that. The amateurs don't. And if you take people and you get them to do that, they will accelerate their learning curve literally by 50 to 100% faster if they'll go proclaim themselves, make themselves known. And the last thing I'm going to give you before we take our break, and then we will be back and cover how to find unlimited people to talk to, is goals. And I just want to talk one thing about goals for getting a person started. A lot of people go, in my opinion, too deep on goals when a person gets started right away. And even some of the books, okay, set your goals. The person doesn't know. They came in. They're looking for direction. They're not looking for sit there for 3 days and stare at the wall. You know, when I set my goals, it takes me a month at the end of every year to set my goals for the next year. It really does. I mean, not 40 hours a week, but I mean, I have to think about it for a month. All the different areas of my life, and what do I want? And the last thing you want to do is paralyze a brand new person with a huge list of goals and too long term. So the main focus with this is focus on short term, 90 days max. The only exception to that would be an event that was maybe 120 days out, a company convention or something. You could put that on their list. But outside of that, it's what can we do today to move you closer to your dreams? What can we do this week? What's our plan this month? Focus 90 days max. We'll get them to personal development. Don't worry about that. We'll get them to get positive environments and associations, all that stuff. But right now, it's focused on getting all people. The biggest thing to get a person started right, we'll talk about this later, is get them one little victory. Just one. Get them a customer. Get them another recruit. Get them somebody in their downline. Get them to be recognized by somebody at an event. Get them to be introduced to some other people. Just a little victory. Just connect them in a way, emotionally. But then we can take it to the next step. So on goals, don't go too deep. In my opinion, at the very beginning, there's plenty of time to readjust your goals at every step along the way. But at the very beginning, there's a lot of fear. They need a few simple steps that they can take and they can win. They can get a little victory. And then they gather enough excitement and enthusiasm to be able to go to the next level. Okay? So, let's take a break.
This concludes CD3, and you are now ready for CD4, titled Power Prospecting, Find People to Talk To. Thank you for listening to Eric Worre's GoPro, How to Become a Network Marketing Professional audio album. For more business building resources, visit networkmarketingpro.com. This audio recording is copyright protected through U.S. and international laws. No portion may be reproduced, duplicated, or distributed in any form. Thank you.